exactly what we're doing today. Right there in your living room, you come to worship. In the midst of the storm, we're still going to praise His name. In the midst of the storm, we're still going to worship. We're going to still sing hallelujah. No matter what you see, God still reigns. What a great day it is in God's house. Right there in your living room, right here at Calvary Church. It's a great day. He is a great God. He gives me hope, and we worship Him together. Father God, we thank You that we've come today to worship. We thank You, Lord God, that You have poured out Your love on the entire nation, on the entire world, that everything we say and everything we do glorifies Your name today, Lord God, more than ever. We reach to the heavens, Lord God, and I pray for each and every one of those fine people watching us today. I pray, Lord God, You pour out Your love and Your power, Your passion in those living rooms, Lord. Deliver us, Lord God, from every situation as we cry upon Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hey, welcome. Welcome once again to Calvary Church here in Canton, Ohio. I know there's many of our Calvary Church family watching online right now, but the word is we're getting so many people contacting me personally saying, hey, I saw you online. It has been refreshing to know that we are getting the word out. Even in the midst of the storm, we're still sending out the word and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. So I just invite you to settle in and just enjoy God's presence right where you are. We are so happy that you have joined us this morning. If you want to keep updated on what goes on here at Calvary Church during this time or any time, you can continue to monitor our Facebook page. But a number of people have contacted us to say, hey, how can we keep in touch with you further? And we have a number of ways, and one of those ways is you can just text the word Calvary for Canton. If you look behind me on the big screen, it says text Calvary for Canton to 24251, and you'll get a text back that says welcome to Calvary Church. You'll get information on a regular basis from our church and our church staff, keeping you abreast of what's going on here at this fine church. Also, you can contact us online at calvarylife.church and review any information you need. But also for the people that continue to reach out to us about, Pastor, how can I support the ministry? I am just so encouraged that you're doing that. Thank you so much. We have had people that attend our church, but really the people beyond have contacted us and said, Pastor, how can I support your ministry there? It is blessing me. And right behind me on the screen, it says, if you just text Calvary for Canton to 73256, you can do just that, or you can go online at calvarylife.church. It's a great day in God's house. This is Palm Sunday. Who would have ever imagined that we would be worshiping online, preaching the word online on this day, April 5th, 2020? We're now being monitored and watched online by hundreds and hundreds of people. We are so blessed with that. We wish it was under different circumstances, but we have been blessed that you have joined us. I just want to go over a few things. We've preached a message called Faith Upsets Fear the last few weeks. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday and invite you all to our Easter service online next week, April. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself. April 12th. Online at 10 o'clock here on our Facebook page. But we've been talking about this Faith Upsets Fear series. And I proposed a number of questions that I want to review with you and give you some answers to those questions. Not that you don't already have those answers, but here's a few of those questions. We talked in the last few weeks, what if God is waiting on our response before He responds? And I told you, he is waiting. He's waiting on his people here on earth to do just that. We talked about what if God is waiting on our response to be courageous, and I say he is. He's waiting on us. What if God is waiting on our response to look at him in these circumstances instead of the storm? He is. What if God is waiting on our response not to worry about tomorrow? And I say again, he is. What if God is waiting on our response to believe that he just has everything under control? He is. He's waiting. What if God is waiting on us just to remember everything that he has done in the past, that he will do again in your life? That's what we talked about last week, and I said, he is. He's waiting. But here's the big one that I'm going to talk about on this Palm Sunday. As we move into the Easter season, what if God is waiting for you and I to wake up? Awaken a resurrected life. The message of Easter, and we had some people wanting to know, are we still having Easter services? Are we celebrating Easter this year? And I will tell you, we'll celebrate Easter this year more than ever, because the word will get out to more people this year than it has ever in the history of the world. More people will hear the Easter message next week than ever in the history of our planet. And I believe that God is going to awaken not only the unbeliever, but he's going to awaken the believer. And our lives will be resurrected, and we will live differently. I believe that the season is now. I believe God has orchestrated this exact situation, allowed everything to happen to awaken the people on earth, both those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but those that don't. I think he has a plan to wake us up. And, you know, this past week I was reviewing some things online. Everything is online right now, and I was reviewing some things online, and I saw this cute little thing online. It went like this. It says, April distance brings May existence. You know, isn't that funny? You know, April showers bring May flowers. Now we're saying April distancing from everybody brings May being existence. You know, it's crazy. But then here's the other one I saw. It said on the shirts, and I saw a sign this past week, and it goes like this: the church has left the building. I got thinking about that. The church has left the building. Well, we've left physically, and we're going online. But really, what that is talking about is not the church leaving the building because of what we're going through. It's talking about what I believe. And the next picture I saw just spoke volumes. It's on the screen behind me. It says, the church just isn't empty. The church has been deployed. I think God is just saying, it's time to wake up. I'm going to send you out. If you're not going to go out on your own, I'm going to deploy you out. I'm going to send you out. That is the very mission of the church. We move to Romans 12:2, and it goes like this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, I'm going to set the stage for you this morning. Paul, the Apostle Paul, probably one of my favorites next to Jesus, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, wrote this to the Romans and said, listen, this is a new time. Things are not the same as they were before. This is something different. The situation has changed. That's exactly what's going on here today. That's exactly what I see and you see as well, as the situation has changed. And Paul continued to write about that situation. He's talking about Jesus Christ was on the scene, the Messiah, and he shows up and things got all stirred up, and his death and resurrection and everything that Jesus stood for, it's all different now. And he's writing, hey, this is a different time. This is a different time as well here in 2020. Paul continued to write in Romans 13:11. He says, now do this. Understand this present time that you're going through. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation draws near now than what we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside all those deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's a pretty heavy scripture. They're all heavy. But that one alone says we're just kind of asleep. We don't understand what's going on. God's setting a wake-up call. In Ephesians 5:14, it goes like this. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, that's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on us to wake up. He's waiting on us to be deployed as the church to go out. He is just waiting for our deployment to move forward. And you know, we go into this week we call Passion Week. Good Friday coming up, and we know what that means. It means that that's the day that Christ was crucified and the world was changed. That's just a few days away. We're still going to celebrate that. And we'll come in on Easter and we'll celebrate that resurrection of Jesus. You know, that has never changed and cannot be changed. But it just has gotten something going on inside of me that it's just waking me up even more. It's exciting me more than I have ever been excited. Something is changing in me. And I was praying this last week, God, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? This is exactly what he wanted to be said. The road to the cross changed the world. The road to the cross, this Passion Week, changed the world. What we are going through this day will change history. And he is waiting for us to understand that. So what did Jesus bring with him? You know, he's going through this situation that we celebrate. And what did he bring to planet Earth on this physical road that he went down? And the spiritual road that he went down, what did that provide for me? And what did that provide for you? It gave me forgiveness. It gave you forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The dark times in our lives. Not doing what we should be doing. Not doing the right thing. So many people are evaluating their lives today saying, uh-oh, what have I done? There's forgiveness. And Christ brought that forgiveness to us. He also brought us salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says it like this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, a free gift. You right there today have an opportunity. Sitting in your living room, you have this monumental, life-changing, eternal opportunity to cry upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And that is the message this week. And Christ also went down this road. He brought this relationship thing that we talk about and live. If you're a believer, you know that, you know, you have this relationship with heaven. It's different than the relationship you have with your friends and family and coworkers. It is a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. And 1 Peter 4:8 reads like this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for the love covers a multitude of sins. You know, I'm watching today the love of Jesus Christ go to people throughout the community, throughout the state, the nation, the world, more than I have ever seen in my life. You probably as well. You may be the recipient right today of somebody showing the love of Jesus to you and your family. I am a recipient. I am also a giver. It is the relationship that God had bestowed inside of us when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. It is completely different now. And God is waiting for us to wake up and have a stronger relationship with Him, or develop one altogether. So what else did Jesus bring on this Passion Week? What else did He bring with Him? He brought desperation. That's you and I today. Desperation. Psalm 50:15. It reads, "And call upon the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." See, that's what's going to happen here. See, so many people are going to call and have been calling upon the name of the Lord during this global situation. In desperation, I just wonder why it takes desperation for us to call. Why does it take the situation for us to do exactly what the creator of the heavens and the earth wants us to do? Call upon His name. Why is it that we have to have desperation? But guess what? Jesus brought the opportunity. If that's what it takes and you cry out in desperation, He answers. And when He answers and delivers us, the scripture is clear. You then will honor me. See, I pray that when this whole thing is over, and I believe God's going to come in like a flood, fast and furious. I believe God's just going to show up mightier than He's ever showed up and just do what God wants done as soon as we wake up. As soon as my life is resurrected and I am alive again. Not that I'm not, but it just seems like I could be doing more. What else did Jesus bring? He brought surrender. Matthew 16:24 reads, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and now follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for the sake will find it." The sake of Jesus Christ, you'll find your life. So here's the question that people have been asking me. Here's the question. People want to know my thoughts. It's kind of crazy. I've had people ask me more now than ever, "Pastor, what do you think? What do you think is going on? What do you think is in the mind of God?" And I say, "I really don't know, but here's what I think. I think God has looked at planet Earth and said, these people are in a spiritual coma." And you think about what that means, and you know what a physical coma means. It's unresponsive. And I said, "Lord, if that's me, forgive me. I don't want to be in a spiritual coma. Wake up. I don't want to be, especially during Passion Week and going into Easter, I don't want to be in the spiritual coma." And that's exactly what I think we have done. That's a very heavy message on a Palm Sunday, but that's exactly how I feel. And I read this online the other day, and it goes like this, and this kind of shook me up. It says, "The unbeliever says, why worship a God they cannot see, while they're hiding in their homes from a virus that cannot be seen?" You know, it's kind of crazy. You got to have a microscope to see this virus, but, you know, we won't worship a God that we can't see. And I hear that often, but now we run from things that we can't see. And now, if that's what it takes to run from something that you can't see, to cry out to a God that you know exists, then so be it. In desperation, God will get your attention, no matter how. And there's similarities here between how the unbeliever, those that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the similarities between how they feel and the similarities with the believer. There's crossover, and here's the crossover. Listen, it goes like this. I feel the unbeliever and the believer alike share a commonality. We share spiritual comatose state. Some don't know Christ. Some just don't know Christ. And those who do are just going through the motions with no real impact. We've lost our consciousness of who God is and what he expects from us. So therefore, God says, I'll deploy a church out of the buildings. And I'll send them out. And we'll start to recognize who we really are and what we really stand for. And I think God is waiting for the unbeliever to come to him, of course, and wake up. I think God is waiting for the believer to come to him and wake up. And Pastor, what do we do? What is the process of what we do? And God lays on my heart three things, and here they are. We've got to realize the urgency to wake up. We've got to realize that we need shook. We got to realize that God is coming to knock on our door and say, it is time. Why Paul wrote what I just read, and I'm going to read again, Romans 13:11-12, and do this. He gave us instructions centuries ago to understand the present time. Understand today, the hour has already come for you to wake up from this slumber, because our salvation is nearer to us today than you've ever believed. The stage for Christ's return is being set right before our very eyes. The Bible says time is short. You're running out of time. Our salvation is definitely nearer today than ever. And Paul recognized that centuries ago. So what do you think it is on this day, on this April 5th, on this Palm Sunday, 7 days away from Easter 2020? How much closer is it today? Here's a quote for you. It says, the sense of his imminent return should fill us both with a sense of gladness as well as a sense of fear. A fear that we may be caught unprepared to meet him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living your life on planet Earth and finding out that everything you heard about this Jesus was true, but unfortunately you find out too late? And then for the believer, living your life for Jesus Christ and doing what you think is the right thing to do, and you're living for him, and then find out at the end you didn't do enough. Because the Bible says in Revelation, I don't want these lukewarm people. I don't want these people that just go through the motions. I want people that are on fire for heaven. And God will do whatever it takes to awaken the church. He'll do whatever it takes to show up and wake up the unbeliever. And God's going to show himself mighty. Rest assured, God is going to show himself mighty. You and I are going to watch the hand of God show himself mighty. Matthew spells it out so perfect. He says in Matthew 24, understand this. If the owner of a house had known at the time of the night that the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. And he wouldn't let him in. There would be no break-in. So you got to understand and be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time and an hour that you least expect it. So once we realize the urgency of this. And see, I'm not talking about the urgency of a global pandemic. I'm talking about the urgency to wake up and realize there's a God in heaven and he's sending for us. So once we really realize that urgency, what do? We've got to do number two, remove the causes of this spiritual coma that we found ourselves in, this slumber, this just let life be life and go along our merry way. We've got to take the causes of that and remove them. And the scripture says it like this in Romans 13:12. It goes, the night's nearly over and the day's almost here. So let us put aside all the deeds of darkness. What is the deeds of darkness that Paul's talking about? He's talking about our ways in the world. And I don't mean to pick on a certain group of people, but I'll tell you, when this whole thing broke and the word got out, a lot of our younger people ran to spring break. I mentioned that before a week or so ago, and they did what spring breakers do. They didn't heed warnings or anything. They just went, and now the word is many of them have been infected. See, God said, leave the darkness. Leave it behind. The day is coming. The daybreak is showing up. It's time to wake up. It's time. We've got to implement one more thing. We've got to remove those things, but there's one more thing we got to do. We've got to restore the safeguards against this spiritual coma that we never do it again. Romans 13:12 says, put on the armor of light. What does that mean? Matthew 12:43-45 says it like this. A man got an unclean spirit, but because he didn't take the precautions to fill his life with the things of God, that unclean spirit came back. He found his heart, showed up again, and came back into his life. Why? Because he didn't prepare himself when he got clean. He didn't prepare himself when he woke up and realized what he had done in life, and he fixed it, but he didn't prepare himself so it wouldn't happen again. And what happened? The Bible speaks there that, I'm just giving you a paraphrase of what happened. The Bible speaks that not only did that spirit come back, but many more came with him. So the man ended up being worse after the fact than he was at the beginning. We can't let that happen. We can't let that happen in your life and mine. We just can't let that happen. As we wake up, and we are waking up, more people are praying today than ever. More people are seeking God than ever. As we wake up, we've got to put on this armor of light. What does that mean, Pastor? What does the armor of light? Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And I'll paraphrase it for you. Paul writes and says, it goes like this. This armor is truth. It's righteousness. It's peace. It's faith. It is salvation. And it is the Spirit of God. We concentrate on those. That's great. Pastor, what does that mean in just practical terms? What does that mean? It means this. Be the church. Do what the church is called to do. Wake up and be deployed. If you're not in the church, if you've not accepted Christ as Savior, do that quickly. And be deployed in the biggest army in the history of the world with the greatest mission ever. That's the armor of light. That's what it means. I'm going to ask our musicians to come back to the platform at this time. And I just want to review with you what I just mentioned. See, Jesus came in this Passion Week and gave up his life Next week, we'll talk about how he resurrected on Easter. As we move to that day, I challenge you to realize the urgency to wake up. And then I challenge you to remove those things in your life that hold you back from getting closer to God, whatever they may be. I'm going to tell you, God will reveal those things to you. He'll let you know. Whatever they may be, and you may know what they are already. And then you're going to restore things in your life, these safeguards, to guard your life so you don't fall asleep again. God's going to lead you through a process to put things in your life to guard yourself. You may be sitting there right now in your living room saying, Pastor, there is just no way it's as bad as you say. There's no way I need to be woke up. There's no way I need to resurrect my life. Let me read just a few things for you. In the last 50 years, I think this is what has happened. Today, we worship the almighty dollar more than ever. Greed has become the greatest motivator. Sex is an obsession today. Gambling is our national pastime. We are the United States is the largest consumer of illegal drugs in the world. We've banned God from our schools. We've declared God off limits in all our public areas. We teach our children the fantasy of evolution. We slaughter babies in the name of freedom, of choice. We glamorize homosexuality. We legalize same-sex marriages. We're legalizing marijuana. The United States has become the biggest moral polluter on the face of the planet, and you wonder why I say we need to wake up. Easter is 7 days away. Jesus Christ brought everything for you and I, and I am challenging you this week to resurrect your life, to wake up and come into an Easter service online ready for the calling that God's placed on your life and on mine. I challenge the believer alike and the non-believer to resurrect your life. You're a non-believer watching this today, and I know there are many. I'm going to give you the opportunity to say a short, quick prayer. So bow your hearts, close your eyes, and just where you are, just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I need woke up. More than ever, in desperation, I call upon your name and accept you as Savior of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I personally want to hear from you. I want you to go to calvarylife.church and send me a message. Right on our homepage it says contact us. You can send me a message. I want to know. You just made a commitment to follow Jesus. If you need some information, you can go to journeyonline.org and get all the information you need on your new path in life, your new awakened, resurrected life. We love you here at Calvary Church. You are a blessing to us watching online. Feel free to contact us. We look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate Easter. We send you off with great music as we worship the Lord thy God in spirit and in truth. We love you. We'll see you next week.